We're doing our class on the Jewish home, and today I want us to discuss last week's parsha. It's become like a common saying that people say about marriage, "Vayhi v'boker v'hine hi le'a." You wake up the morning after the wedding and suddenly it's Leia. You thought you were marrying Rachel, ha! You wake up the morning after, now you suddenly realize who you're marrying. Did I tell you the joke about the guy who had a good wife? There was a guy who came to the Shadchan, and he says, "You know, my first wife died, and she was so good to me. She really was a great wife, and I'm concerned that I had such a good life so far that I've used up all my merits in the world to come, and I haven't been cleansed of anything. Such a good wife. I want you to find for me the most miserable, wretched woman in the world so that when I get to the world to come, I'll still have something. You know, I've had too much of a good life here. So I want you to find for me the worst witch in the world, okay?" So the Shadchan looks at him and says, "You serious?" And he says, "Yeah. Okay, fine. You know, it's a tough job, but Shadchan that he is, he's ready to go up to bat. Okay." So he offers him shidduch number one, and the guy makes a few phone calls, and he comes back to the Shadchan, and he says, "Sorry, people say nice things about her, not good enough." Comes back, shidduch number two, same story, three, four, five. After about 20 tries, he gets one. Every person he calls up to verify about this woman, they start hemming and hawing, and they're like, "Well, you know, she lives in a nice part of town, and she has a very friendly dog, and you can see from the way people are beating around the bush, this sounds right." Okay. He does a little bit of research online, he does a little bit of, okay. She's had 15 lawsuits with the neighbor, 2 lawsuits with her children's school. Okay, this sounds right. He goes out on a date, and of course on a date, everyone seems like fairly decent. He figures one date is enough. He's found out enough. Okay. So, he tells her, "Why don't we do this Hasidic style? You know, one date is enough. We can be modest." And she says, "You know what? I looked into you. You seem like a very nice guy." Fine. He goes and pays the Shadchan fare, and they set a date. Then they go down the aisle, and the guy is feeling super pious. And the morning after the wedding, he wakes up, and there's the smell of toast. And fresh eggs and salad, and he comes into he's about to get off the bed, and he sees his slippers waiting right there with a little note, "Honey, good morning." He figures, okay, it's the morning after the wedding, okay. He puts on the slippers, he goes down, and he sees the sweetest face in the world, and she says, "How'd you sleep? I'm not sure how you like your coffee, so I made 3 different cups, just in case. They're all super hot. And don't worry, I'll drink the other ones. They won't have to go to waste. And don't worry, I like 2 cups of coffee, sometimes like this and sometimes like that. I made you exactly what you want." He's standing there. He doesn't know what to say. He's in shock. So he just says, "Thank you." And he sits down. And he sits down by the chair. And there's a little mint sitting there right there with a note. "So happy to be married to you." He doesn't know what to say. She says, "Look, I wasn't sure if you like eggs in the morning or porridge. So I put both up. Whichever one you won't eat, I'll eat. I like them both." Okay, this isn't what he was expecting. Figures, okay, it's the honeymoon. 2 weeks into marriage, it's only getting better. Every morning, every afternoon, every night, keeps getting better. He doesn't know what to do with himself. So he calls back the Shadchan and he says, Was there confusion here?" Shadchan says, "No, believe me. I researched her. Believe me. He says, "I don't know. She hasn't said one unkind word to me. It's 2 weeks. I thought I did good homework. What's going on here?" Shadchan says, "I have no idea. I also did homework. Believe me, no one had a nice thing to say about this woman." The guy doesn't know what to do with himself. So after about a month, he didn't marry her for this. He's getting really worried. He's going to have no portion in the world to come. He's having too good a life. You know, this is even better than his first marriage. He doesn't know what to do. So he sits down and he says, "Honey, we have to have a talk." So she says, "Sure. When's convenient for you?" He says, "Now." She says, "No problem. Let's talk." They sit down and he says, "Look, I don't know how to broach this subject. This is like a little uncomfortable for me. But I really don't understand. You know, I did a little bit of homework, and I'm not sure what to say. He looks at her, and suddenly her face changes. And she looks at him and says, you thought you'd get something in the world to come with me? No such luck, honey. Okay. So, it's a joke, but the truth is that the morning after a wedding, the mascara's off. No, that's not shidduch advice. This class is post-marriage, right? The mascara's off, and let's even take a simpler example. You come back from the wedding. So you've been fasting the whole day. You're fasting, she's fasting. You assume you get to eat and drink at the wedding. Forget it. Everyone's coming and telling you mazel tov. I remember at our wedding, every time I had a fork in my hand, I'd be like this, and someone would come up my hand and grab my hand. So good to see you, you know? You barely get one piece of chicken in your mouth. Okay, it reached benching, and I said to my wife, I don't know if I ate a kazayas, you know? I said, guys, give me a pause, 1 second, one kazayas, and then you seem like a chazer, right? You're wolfing down a kazayas. Okay, so you come home the wedding night, you didn't have too much to eat and drink. You've been dancing the whole night. When she dated you, so you were all nice and refreshed, you had your deodorant, your cologne, well-shaved, well-groomed. You walk home from the wedding, you think that's what she's meeting? And what do you think you're meeting? So that's a simple example that's very far from the truth. The truth is that Vayiva Boker Vinehi Leah, Yaakov Avinu wakes up, this isn't who I thought I was marrying. This really isn't who I thought I was marrying. I thought I was marrying your sister. True story. A relative of mine dated a girl. And it was interesting. And then, he's not even sure how. They broke it off. He was single 15 years later. So he calls up the shadchan and says, can you set me up with her? He sets him up. Fine. They get engaged. They're at the engagement party and her sister walks in and he looks at her and he says, I thought something was funny here. He dated her sister 15 years ago. So all the time, he's like continuing the date and he thinks like, okay. He's at the engagement. He suddenly realized it didn't seem right, but 15 years passed. You know, people change in 15 years. Her sister walks in, and I thought that, oh, right. He didn't remember the name right. He remembered the family, remembered where they lived. You know, she comes out. She says, Chavi. He remembered Chani. He was right. It was Chani. Okay. Things happen in life. So he found out at the engagement. But you know what? In real life, you wake up the next morning and life starts and this isn't what you expected. And then, I just want to tell you what I'm about to say in the name of the one who said it. I don't know if I'm allowed to say his name, but I have a friend who is the softest, gentlest, sweetest guy I've ever met. Like this guy is so gentle that he stands there, you think that if you breathe on him, he might fall over. He just stands there like, you know, sweet and gentle. You think he could never have a fight, never have an argument. He's intelligent. He's got a spine. You know, he has his opinion, but his demeanor is so soft and gentle and sweet, you think the guy could never have a fight, could never have an argument. He told my chavrusa once, I didn't hear it directly from him, but my chavrusa, he once said to him, you're going to get married, and then at some point you'll have your first fight. You'll have your first disagreement. And afterwards, you're going to look at her, and you're going to look at the marriage, and you're going to say to yourself, so everything I thought was wrong, and there's no way we can build from here. You're going to look at everything after the first fight. You suddenly see a different side of things. And that side has a way of enveloping the picture. And you tell yourself, no, 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 no. This is not who I thought I would marry. And if this is the way a fight plays itself out with her, so there's no way we can make this work. So the first fight is devastating. Now, some couples have all these little toy fights for 2 years. They don't have a real fight. Some couples have this the first night of marriage. Remember, a friend of mine walked in the morning after marriage looking like a ghost. You know, it's the morning after marriage. I was at his wedding a few hours ago. The wedding ended at 1. I come to Beis Medrash at 6 and he's there. And he's looking terrible. I'm not sure what to say. I was still single. I wasn't even dating yet. And we had learned Chavrusa. So 6 o'clock, he's sitting in the Beis Medrash next to me. It's not comfortable. I'm not sure what to say. His wife kicked him out, you know. 7 o'clock, he's davening with us. After davening, I go over to one of our teachers, a mutual teacher, and I say, should I say something? He looks terrible, and you know, he got married 8 hours ago. So he says to me, shh. It's very common that couples have their first fight the first night of marriage or sometime during Sheva Brachos. Don't get excited. It's interesting that his story was he didn't have a fight. The landlord gave him the wrong key to the apartment. They showed up to the apartment, and it's 2:30 in the morning. His wife is in her wedding gown. This is New York. There's snow outside, and the key doesn't work. And they're standing there, and they can't get the door open. So they're trying to figure out how to get the door open, and a neighbor hears this and calls the cops on them. So at 3:30 in the morning, the cops are showing up, and they're not sure if to put him in jail or not. So a neighbor actually walks out and sees the poor Kala like this and says to him, you deal with the cops. Your Kala doesn't have to deal with this. She can have a normal night's rest. Took the Kala in, let her sleep by him, and he's dealing with the cops, trying to prove that he's not trying to break into the apartment. By 6 o'clock, he says to himself, what am I going to do? I'll daven and then I'll come home. I'll figure out where I get a key. So he came to the basement. She didn't tell me all this till much later. But I'm looking at him wondering. He looks like a ghost. Sure, he looks like a ghost. He spent the first night of marriage with the cops. Okay. But I learned something from it because the teacher said to me, shh. People have their first fights the first night too. It's not uncommon. It can happen. Nothing wrong with it. Don't get involved. Don't say anything. Ignore it. Make believe nothing happened. If he'll need you, he'll come to you. Taught me something. I wasn't yet dating. So some people have their first fight the first night, the first week. Some people have their first fight 2 years into marriage. People can sometimes spend the first 2 years dancing around one another. Everyone's being very polite. No one's doing anything that'll hurt someone else. Until finally, boom, it explodes. And people can spend the first 2 years wondering, what are people talking about when they say marriage is so hard? Wait. If it didn't happen yet, fine, it will. Don't worry. That's the nature of marriage. Two people get together. It takes time, but eventually they suddenly realize there's a problem here. There isn't a problem. It's the nature of marriage. It's very common that a couple gets married and the woman suddenly discovers the morning after the wedding, he's not going to Minyan. So it really bugs me because I get these emails often where a woman during Sheva Brachos will send me an email. Can you talk to my husband? He hasn't gotten up for davening even once. Hold it. Who said he's supposed to get up for davening? So I know I'm the rabbi. I'm supposed to say he's supposed to get up for davening. But a husband isn't supposed to leave his wife alone during Sheva Brachos. If he's going to go to Minyan, then he has to bring someone else to be with her. The halacha says a husband and wife during the 7 days of Sheva Brachos are not to be left alone. So long as he's with her and she's with him, that's good. But if he's going to leave the house, he's not supposed to leave her alone. So now, like I always say, you want him to bring someone else at 7 o'clock in the morning to be with you? You want to sleep late, right? So he's tired. He also wants to sleep late. Go easy on him. 3 days, 5 days into Sheva Brachos, you'll have recovered a little bit from the wedding. So then, if you have koach, you'll go with him to shul. You want to get up and go with him to shul? No, you don't want to get up and go with him to shul, right? But you want him to get up and go to shul. Easy. The halacha says there's a certain amount of effort you have to put into going to Minyan. Sometimes, most often after a wedding, either one of the couple gets sick or both of them get sick. Sometimes it happens during Sheva Brachos, sometimes it happens after Sheva Brachos. But it's fairly common, at least 80% of the couples, that within a month after the wedding, someone's lying in bed sick. Very often it's during Sheva Brachos too, and very often it's both of them. Because there's tremendous anxiety, there's tremendous emotion, there's tremendous strength that gets into it. But the morning after the wedding, you look at this chassan who you thought was so pious, he went to Machon Meir, he must be a big tzaddik, how come he's not getting up for Shacharis? Easy. So we have to play it slowly. One of the rules in marriage is you have to have patience. Things aren't the way you think they are, and it's legitimate that they aren't the way you think they are. You know, there's a saying that says that a husband gets married with the facade, with the perception that his wife is as pristine and gentle and timid as she seems when she's dating, and he fools himself into thinking that that's the way she'll be for eternity. And a wife gets married knowing exactly what she plans on making of that husband. Two different perspectives. Meaning women are far more realistic. Men enter marriage and they have these, like, they think they know who they're dating, and they're confident that they know who they're dating, and then they discover that it's not exactly what they thought. Vayiva boker, v'inei Leah. You wake up, it's not the Rachel you thought, it's Leah. So that happens to everyone in certain respects, men and women. It's after the marriage that you start discovering different dynamics of who you married. So we have to be prepared for that. Like people sometimes say, you know, and what happens if the other party was dishonest with you? Well, it depends on how dishonest. It really depends. Because usually there are things that you'll discover after marriage. Either they were forgotten, or they were misrepresented, or misunderstood. I told you I inherited $1 million. I didn't tell you I spent it. Shucks. Okay, so that's an exaggeration, maybe. But you married me for the money? I don't understand. I thought you said you loved me. Okay, that's, you know, that's maybe a little bit far, but there are still things that come up afterwards where you suddenly say, it's not what I thought, so what? So now you have to figure out how to make it work. Meaning, marriage is always going to be about making it work. How could Yaakov make it work with Leah? It teaches us something. And the truth is that everyone has this. Meaning, everyone discovers after marriage that this is not at all what they thought it was going to be like. Did we discuss Rav Moshe's tshuva? There was a young man who was very nervous. Wasn't sure, is this the right one? Isn't it the right one? So he sent Rav Moshe Feinstein a letter. He says, I want to know if it's modest, if it's permissible. I want to rent 2 hotel rooms. At night, she'll go to sleep in her room, I'll go to sleep in my room. We'll wake up in the morning, we'll get together like a married couple. She'll bake breakfast, we'll go out together, we'll practice. Let's try a week or two of living like that. And then we'll try to adhere to all the laws of Yichud. And then I'll know if it's the right one. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein in his responsa would usually answer exactly what you asked him. If he had some advice to give you that you didn't ask for, he wouldn't tell it. Sometimes there were halachos that were relevant, but you didn't ask, you didn't tell. It's a type of modesty that if they didn't ask me, why should I interfere in their lives? Whatever they ask, that's what I'm responsible to answer. So you see it in certain responsa that Rav Moshe answers, and there are other points which he answers in other responsa, but he doesn't bother addressing because he wasn't asked, so he doesn't interfere. So Rav Moshe first addresses the halachic question that the guy answered him. And then he says, but look, young man, that's not the way it works. You date to the point where you feel confident that you can hope that this is the right one. Confident that you can hope that this is the right one. Meaning, you have to realize that you don't really know who you're marrying. You know to a certain degree, and beyond that degree you don't know. And beyond that degree you discover, and we evolve within marriage. If a person walks into marriage confident, I know who she is, then he's going to have a very hard time because he's going to discover that there are many aspects of her he did not know. That always happens. But if you walk into it knowing, I know a certain amount, and it makes sense that we could work together, and the key here is we can work together. So that means I'm going to discover that when she finishes with a match, she tosses it into the garbage bin without turning it off. So that's a little worrisome, you know, a little bit. So we can talk about it. We can work it out. She discovers that he likes speeding and cutting cars off in the car. You know, he drives no less than 80 miles an hour. So now what? You're going to get divorced? But he's crazy. He's risking my life. He's risking his life. The kids need a father. We can always present the case that the other side is absolutely crazy. You believe me, you will be able to paint that case. People sometimes spend their lives in marriage thinking, how will I present this to a judge? Or how can I show this to other people and I will come out looking okay? You guys are laughing, I'm not joking. Or in the words of one young man, you spend the first few years asking yourself, should I instigate divorce? Because if she does, I won't say no. Meaning there are large gaps where a person feels like, I'm not sure I'm going to say I want out, but I'm certainly going to feel comfortable. If she instigates it, fine, no problem. It's normal. Marriage is difficult. And we need time to learn one another. Time, patience, and every hurdle that we can cross and continue building, that hurdle then becomes a source of strength because we've managed. It's one more badge on our breastplate of marriage. Look at what I've accomplished. It's one more strength to the marriage. You have to realize that as hard as a hurdle is, that very hurdle becomes a tremendous source of strength when you conquer it. When you move forward, and that's a part of what you have under your belt, what you've conquered. So let's review what we discussed today. It's a constant that within marriage there are surprises. The surprises will very often be harsh. They will very often seem like tremendous grounds for a divorce. A woman emails me and says, my husband looks at other women. So I'm tempted to email her back, he's normal. Every normal male is interested in looking at other women. But I thought I'd marry someone who isn't. Well, what do you mean? You're marrying a human being. So he has to work on himself. It's wrong. He shouldn't look. But the fact that he has a desire and he has a weakness and he has to work on it, it's part of being human. It's not comfortable. We'd like to say we're all perfect. But we read in Shema every morning, and this is why we read it every morning. This is one of the reasons we have to keep reminding ourselves. Don't go after your eyes. Don't go after your eyes. You're not supposed to look, because our nature is that we want to look. So she looks at it and says, I thought I'm marrying an angel. I thought I'm marrying someone pious. Maybe he is. And maybe she doesn't understand what a man is like. He has to be more pious. He has to work on himself. A man is not allowed to look at other women. So he's not perfect yet. Is that grounds for divorce? So he's speeding in the car. Is that grounds for divorce? So she forgets to buckle the kids in the car. Is that grounds for the divorce? So she forgets the pot on the fire, and you have a fire about twice a year because she forgets it. Is that grounds for divorce? Every instant you could look at and say, this is crazy. I don't have to live with this. Yes, you do. In every marriage, there are those quirks that seem ridiculous. Every night she leaves the milk out. And every day we have to buy a new bag of milk. So that's a small investment in your marriage. I told the guy, big deal. So you invest 5 shekel in your marriage. Go to a counselor, you'll pay 300 shekel. For 5 shekel, no, for that you're making a big deal. 5 shekel, so she forgets the milk. But she's an adult. So I have weaknesses, she has weaknesses, you have weaknesses, we all have weaknesses.
Don't cry over spilled
milk. Don't cry over spilled milk, very good. So there are always surprises. And we have to be prepared for that. We have to be prepared that the beginning can sometimes be very tough. And if it's not the beginning, then later becomes very tough. And the first fight certainly gives us the feeling like it's over. How can you make it work after this? And we have to realize that you can. And Be'ezrat Hashem next week, if you'll remind me, we'll have a discussion of how do you walk back into the relationship after the fight? Meaning the first argument, how do you walk back in? So remind me next week, and maybe we should also discuss the etiquette of a fight, the etiquette of an argument. Meaning how should you try and guide what are some do's and don'ts within an argument?
Did Dan Cook on that?
No.